Morning again. Just got a question for you. Is everyone pick up a handout on the table? It says Ephesians 2, 1 to 10 on it. It's not in your packet. It was separate from your packet. If not, raise your hand. Bill has extra copies. Need that Ephesians 2, 1 to 10 hand up, raise your hand. All right, well, as he's finishing that up again, if you need a handout, Ephesians 2, 1 to 10, Bill has them, plus a pack of information we'll get into. Thank you for being here. Most of you would be here anyway for Bible study. Some of you are here because of the special invite and topic, so thank you again for being here. And again, not just for the topic, but just being here as part of the St. Mark's family. We are at a pivotal time in our ministry. That's nothing new over St. Mark's history. You could say that about every period of time throughout our existence here at St. Mark's. But once again, it holds true. We have been working on a short and long-range ministry plan that really picked up momentum as we worked with Crossroads, our six boards, worked diligently with them. Bits and pieces of that work have been laid out before you, and part of the goal of this topic today and going forward is to lay out more of our short and long-range ministry plans. Specifically today, we want to focus in on what we're calling Not Without Purpose. That is our ministry here at St. Mark's. It's not without purpose. It never has been without purpose since 1965, the day of our founding as a congregation here at St. Mark's. Part of that purpose is to let the light shine, the light of Christ. And we're on a hill, great place to do that from. Very picturesque. To let people know about Christ, and as they know about Christ, to nurture them in that relationship with Christ. And also then, we're not without purpose when it comes to the operations day-to-day of our ministry. Over the last year, you've heard quite a bit of talk about supporting our day-to-day ministry operations through our Unify financial support. We've also heard some encouragement regarding our mortgage. And that's what we want to continually emphasize, not in place of, but in addition to the operations, is the mortgage. That mortgage is not without purpose. We're going to get into the details in a few moments. But before we do so, get into those details, let's look at Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. Very appropriate passage for us to look at to remind us of our purpose and why we have this purpose and what we're to do with the purpose that we have been given. So, Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. Steve, would you read that for us?
As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the rule of the kingdom of the enemy. The spirit of truth is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Nevertheless, we were by nature deserving of wrath. but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raises us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms of Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages we might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Alright, so a little exercise as we go through these words. There's three statements below. First of all, underline some words which describe how we used to be. And then circle words which describe how we are now in Christ. And then put a box around words which say what we are to do with our new status. Whoops, our new status. Anybody need a pen to help them circle? Underline. Put a box around. Just take a couple minutes. You can use the laser from your eye to do such too. I forgot to ask Tom to provide some background music. How's that 30 seconds? Morning. Did you get a hand up? All right, underline some words which describe how we used to be. Who wants to share what words they underline? Dick?
Dead in your transgressions and sins.
Dead in your transgressions and sins. What does that mean, Dick?
Lost eternally because of our sin.
All right, that's how we start out, right? Before God. By nature, ever since the fall into sin, we are dead, right? Do dead people make decisions? No? We'll get into that. In your transgressions and sins. Different ways of describing transgressions, trespasses, we cross over where we should not go, sins, we fail to measure up. All right, another word?
Disobedient.
Disobedient, okay? Speaks for itself. Another? Jerry?
Follow the ways of the world.
All right. Follow the ways of the world, because that's how we start out by nature. And before Christ in us, we continue to follow in those ways of the world. Yeah. We desire. And so we see that happening too. Why are there movements that really fly in the face of God's word? Well, by nature, it should not come to surprise us that people are the way they are, because that's how we are. We want to gratify our sinful desires. Any other words?
We were deserving of wrath.
Yeah, we're deserving of wrath. Again, because of our status by nature. That's what we deserve. All right, circle words which describe how we are now in Christ.
Alive in Christ.
Alive. Opposite of dead. What a beautiful picture. Alive people can make decisions. What else?
By grace we've been saved.
Yeah, by grace, right? That's how we've been made alive. Not by our works. Other words which describe how we are now?
And God raised us up to Christ and seated in the heavenly realms.
Yeah, we've been raised up with Christ. Not just that gives us hope now and confidence, but also when it comes to our eternity. That beautiful picture. We are more than conquerors. Any other words which describe how we are?
Have been saved.
Have been saved. Right, that's key. That's a completed action. Saved. That's what's meant there. Not in the process of being saved. Either you are or you're not. Yeah, we're God's handiwork. Or the NIV 84, workmanship. Right? Not by accident. That we are saved by grace, given this new status and made alive in Christ. And so, what words did you put a box around to describe what we're to do with our new status? Yeah, we've been made alive. We have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Any other boxes? That's really the main one.
Not saying not that you can boast. Yeah. Because it's not you doing.
Right? There's no boasting that takes place. And again, who does this apply to? Right away from the beginning, Paul makes it clear. Who do these words apply to? Yeah, me, myself, and I. As for you, very personal. And yet, at the same time, it applies to all people. There's not one person born in this world outside of Jesus that these words do not apply to. desires and thoughts, because that's how we are by nature, that battle continues now that we're in Christ. So Paul talked about that in Romans 7. The good that I do when I don't want to do, that I keep on doing. What a wretched man I am. So every day we have to fight that battle. And every day then is encouraged by Luther based on Scripture. We need to drown that old Adam by contrition and repentance, recognizing who we are by nature, that we cannot boast in what we have in Christ Jesus, so that that new man, so that constant wrestling match. And we see what happens if you do not feed the new man, well then that old Adam just gets momentum. You know what? Doing the right thing becomes habit for me. And just doing the wrong things becomes habit for me. Are bad habits easy to break? We all know they're not. So the importance of staying in the good habits. And how is this all possible? Verse 4 emphasizes, right? Because of His great love for us. Great love highlighted there. Nothing that we did, nothing that attracted us to Him. Rather, because of His great love. And that's emphasized in that word, mercy. His emotions were aroused. He knew we were helpless in and of ourselves to do anything. And so He did something about that. He did not give us what we deserve, that wrath which we deserve. But rather, in His mercy, He has given us life. And that's also emphasized then by the flip side word, grace. So mercy, not giving us what we deserve, grace, giving us what we don't deserve. We don't deserve His love. We don't deserve that life. But we have it. So we can see why this passage is so pivotal in our understanding of life, where we've been, where we are, where we're going. And so it's a fitting passage to emphasize with this process that we're focusing on, not without purpose. This building on that fact that He has seated us in verse 6 with Him. Touched on that briefly in Romans 8, that we are more than conquerors. Do you feel like a conqueror? Minus your aches and pains every day? We are more than conquerors because those aches and pains don't separate us from what we have in God through Christ Jesus. And the incomparable riches. When you hear that phrase, the incomparable riches, what comes to your mind? The incomparable. Earthly things, okay? What else? Incomparable riches.
Solomon.
Okay? Now, what did he say about all these earthly things?
They weren't worth anything.
I mean, he had amassed quite a bit of earthly things, but he realized, apart from God, those earthly things really aren't meaningless. And then you think of God in incomparable riches. Well, Paul in Philippians, we oftentimes hear it after the sermon, The peace of God, which transcends all understanding. We can't compute who this God is and why, out of mercy and grace, He would give us or not give us what we deserve. And also then the incomparable riches in the fact that nothing is impossible with Him. How often do we put limits on God? Because of our own limited understanding. So, beautiful phrase there. The incomparable riches of His grace, physically, emotionally, and above all, spiritually expressed to us. His kindness. Through faith, in verse 8, not in view of, not because we did something or He saw a spark in us, but through faith, the receiving hand of God's salvation. It's a gift, not by works, as Steve mentioned, so that we are not able to boast, but rather our boasting is in Christ, as Paul says. And then which God prepared in verse 10, God prepared in advance for us to do these good works. No accidents. We've been put in a position to succeed. And that leads us then to celebrate in word and in action. So we truly are not without purpose in our calling and in our call to action. Just a couple more passages then to sum up the motive as we make a transition. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Someone wants to look that up. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And then 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. Romans 12, 1 and 2, first of all. Someone have those handy? Who's got a Bible? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Going once, going twice. In view of God's, what? Mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. This is your spiritual act of worship. Again, what's the motivation? To offer ourselves as living sacrifices. God's mercy. Right? And that's 2 Corinthians 5. The love of who? Christ. What? The love of Christ compels us to act. For we live not for ourselves, but rather for Him who lived and died and lives again. So clearly the motivation for us to celebrate in word and in action this life that God has given to us is evident. To celebrate the fact that we are not without purpose in our calling. We're on the path to heaven. And in the meantime, we have a mission to carry out. In your packet, you have a sheet that's called Value Statement. So if you want to take that out, please. This drives home the fact that we are not without purpose. What drives us here at St. Mark's? So that we can celebrate God's grace and mercy every day and keep that in front of us. Our mission statement is summed up in that phrase, right? We're here to glorify God, to grow in His grace, and to go with the gospel. So what's at the core of our ministry? Some of the things that we identify through that crossroads purpose. Worship. The Lord, every day of our life, including gathering for formal worship. Now Romans 12 passage is there, in view of God's mercy. And then Hebrews 10. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. So worship is at the forefront. We do it as we're doing today in our worship services, but every day is to be worship to God. From washing dishes, to pulling weeds, to offering a lending hand to someone, to giving thanks to God, through our words and actions, that's all worship. Now you think about that as we go about our life. Do our words and all our actions reflect worship to God? You know, before sin in the world, all those things that Adam and Eve were to do, they weren't there just to sit in the Garden of Eden. They were there to be active. It was after sin that all those things that they were to do and that we do every day became a chore. Faithfulness to the Word. Well, that's important. As we carry on our not without purpose ministry. That is firmly believing there is no room for compromise when it comes to the Scriptures. John 8, Jesus makes that very clear. Hold firmly to His teachings. And then, as you do, you will continue to know the truth. And what about that truth? What will it do? It'll set us free. Free from our sinful nature. Free from our own desires and will. Free to live for God. 2 Timothy 3, continue in what you have learned. Habit forming. And have become convinced of. These are good habits. Even though the world sometimes, we get ridiculed for toting our guns and this and that. We get lumped all together in that kind of category. Being brainwashed. Not at all. It's all due to God's grace. It's a gift. So we're going to be faithful to the Word that sets us free. Means of grace. That's important. The gospel, word and sacrament, that's kept in front and center, since such are the means by which God brings and keeps people to Him through faith. Romans 10. How does faith come about? But through the hearing of the message. Matthew 28. Jesus told us to go make disciples of all, right? Baptizing, teaching. 1 Corinthians 11. He also has given us the Lord's Supper as a way to strengthen our relationship with Him, to keep us on that path, to celebrate life. It first of all begins with God. Excellence. We strive to do all things decently and in order, because our God is a God of order. So in all that we do, from worship to education to maintaining the properties, God has blessed us with a beautiful facility, and we want to do our best to maintain them. 1 Corinthians 10, a reminder that we do it all to the glory of God, so that no one can boast. It's not about us. And that's why, again, we don't want to get caught up in titles. Some people get a title around here, some people don't. It doesn't mean you're more important if you've got a title or you're less important if you don't have a title. We all are called to work. We all have a purpose. We are His handiwork. So whether I have a title or not, you know, there's a broken outlet cover, well, that's the building and grounds. They're supposed to do that. No. They're not the only ones who can change an outlet cover. If you notice it's cracked, go ahead. Tradition. Right, we want to respect tradition, while at the same time, let's not let traditions stand in the way of doing ministry. So in the sense that members and community come to appreciate the why we do and what we do. Acts 2, for example, the believers gathered together around the teaching, Christ-centered teachings that the apostles were proclaiming. We don't want to lose that tradition of gathering around the Word. Fellowship. Getting together with one another so that we can encourage one another. Again, another solid tradition. And that can look different ways, that fellowship. Gave to anyone who had need, looking out for the needs of others. Again, another tradition we don't want to lose sight of. God has given us the opportunity to do good to all, especially to the family believers. And then there's some aspirational core values. Things that we want to keep working on. Member ministry. Having members take ownership of this ministry. It's our ministry, after all. There's no I in team, right? Bible, biblical giving, cheerful, and priority support of the mission and ministry, short and long term, and evangelism, not forgetting who we are, how we've been called, and how God calls others. So this value statement drives us in our ministry that is not without purpose. This is who we are and what we've been called to do. In your packet, you have what's called a cover letter. We're not going to read through it all. Two-sided. On page 1, two-thirds of the way down, St. Mark's has purpose. This is an exciting time to be a part of the St. Mark's family. It's also a pivotal time, as we said earlier. Just over 50 years ago, members laid out a vision for St. Mark's, and that vision is being realized today. Christ-centered worship, And education has been the hallmark of our existence over the years. Through our recent ministry planning efforts conducted with the help of Crossroads, it is evident we remain committed to this initial vision and the purpose for starting St. Mark's. As the groundwork was laid out for us, so we want to keep laying the groundwork for generations to come. What a legacy for them to imitate. Our ministry at St. Mark's has not been without purpose. As a way to keep the purpose going, we have come up with a ministry plan to serve as a roadmap for current and future ministry. This plan calls for each one of us to work together so that we can continue to grow or glorify God through this place, grow in God's grace in this place, and go from this place with His gospel to share. And then the first paragraph on the next page. Meeting this purpose going forward, one of the ways to keep the vision for St. Mark's moving forward is by addressing the financial debt we have from the building of a beautiful gym and classrooms in 04 and 05, along with the remodeling of the administration building and also updates to this building. We needed that space and still do, especially the gymnasium and the classrooms are in use every day. They provide a place for valuable ministry to be carried out. Our current balance on the mortgage for those projects currently stands at just under $1.5 million, give or take. Over the past 12 years, we have paid over $1 million in interest. So part of this process is to emphasize what is good stewardship, to keep going that way or to address it. So going forward, is it possible for us to pay exceedingly more on the principal and not on the interest? That's one of the goals of this not without purpose debt reduction effort. But just to be clear, this is not about a fund raising effort. This is about a ministry raising effort. We're here to do ministry. But one of the realities, it takes money to do ministry. So we're not going to lock you in the doors, lock the doors and tell you to shake out your wallets. That's not the point of this. But this to emphasize the importance of ministry. And someone has once said that, the last part of the Christian to be converted is the wallet. It's not that God has not blessed us with means and opportunities. As we have seen throughout our history and living today, we have plenty of opportunities and we do have means. I mean, look around us, right? We do have means. But again, this is not meant to be a guilt trip, but rather an opportunity for us to see where we're at. What can we do going forward to carry out the ministry God has put before us? So to help us do that, let's look at this handout now in your folder. Most of you should have one of these, if not all of you. If you had your packet, it should be in there. There were some who did have one.
I think the ones that we made earlier got that.
Okay. Well, we'll make sure you get one if you didn't get one, because they're going to get reprinted. All right. So obviously, on the cover, we have a beautiful picture of our campus. God has blessed us, right, over the years here at St. Mark's. And we don't want to fail to recognize that. And then the bottom pictures emphasize our two main purposes, worship and education. Education of all ages, but especially the importance of our children. And then the next page, celebrating a blessed history. You look at those pictures, probably bring memories for some of you. For those of us who weren't here, well, it gives you a little foretaste of what was going on before we were here. St. Mark's, Citrus Heights began in 1965. 1982, the current church was built. 1970, St. Mark's Lutheran School opened with 17 students. Now we have, 95, give or take, and next year, Lord willing, be over 100. So the Lord is blessing us with opportunity. I don't remember what was in the place of where the gym is standing now. What was there?
Shrubbery.
Trees?
And there was another building. Wasn't there another building? No, parking. The other building was in the playground.
Parking lot?
Yeah.
Okay. So instead of the parking lot, we have a viable place for ministry to take place. Next page, celebrating what's happening now. Again, what's happening now? Worship is able to still be carried on. We don't want to take that for granted. Education is taking place. Activities and fellowship are taking place in that building, which we call number 8. Lots of things to celebrate. Our current ministry plan, worship and Bible study opportunities. Sundays and Mondays, Bible studies throughout the week for men, for women, for couples in the homes here at campus. School growth and outreach opportunities. We've been blessed with praise and proclaim efforts, going door to door in Citrus Heights a couple times and also in Orangevale. We're also looking at other things that we'll get into in a moment. Stained glass windows is part of our 50th anniversary celebration, looking to be installed and dedicated in the month of June. Celebrate that. Connect groups are up and running. Prime timers have been active again. 20s and 30s have been doing some activities. They have activities planned for the summer. And then the 40s and 50s look to kick off this fall. But they're not just meant to be separate age groups. There's going to be some events that the 20s and 30s will also invite 40s and 50s to, and vice versa. So a lot of things to look forward to build up the fellowship, the family of believers here at St. Mark's. And then we're looking at this debt reduction effort. Again, in order to do ministry going forward, there's only so much in the pot. Well, where is that money currently going? Is there a way that we can free up resources to do the long-range ministry? Which leads us to the last page, celebrating a glorious future in heaven. But until then, our ministry plan in the works. Just to highlight some of it. We're still considering the option of opening up a high school. Parents have asked us to consider this, so we put a committee together. So it's part of the Board of Child Discipleship's auspices to look at what would it take to have a high school here at St. Mark's. Not the first time. But what can we do to maybe start it up again and then keep it going to help provide that spiritual education for our youth? Staff positions. There are various staff positions we're looking to add. If you had the ideal situation, money were not an object, what could we do to help St. Mark's keep moving forward? Well, one of those positions would be a worship and women's ministry coordinator. There's so many ways for men and women to be involved in ministry. So especially when we focus on getting the gifts that God has given to you ladies. And sometimes it takes coordinated effort. Sometimes it's spontaneous. Sometimes it's coordinated. And then the worship focus. There's a lot of work that goes into planning worship. And to meet the various tastes of people to do it well. So that would be one position. Another one would be just an operations manager. There's lots of stuff that goes on day to day to keep us focused. So those are just a couple of the positions that we're looking at adding. Youth and ministry coordinator would be another one. We had that position once before with Mr. Holman. We want to connect with our youth. We want to connect with people of all ages. Again, to do that well, it would be nice to have a full-time position for that. We're also looking at establishing an endowment fund. You'll hear more about that in the weeks to come. And we'll save some of that discussion for later, but just briefly right now, the endowment fund is not to take the place of the day-to-day operations, the unified support, or the mortgage. But this is above and beyond, especially your legacy gifts. How can I still support the work of the church I love so much, even when I'm in heaven? Well, that's where the endowment comes in. And so we'll touch on that later. Daughtering mission sites. We formed a Sacramento missionary team. St. Mark's, Hope, Christ in Lodi, St. Andrews, and Sacramento. Working together, what can we do with the District Mission Board in having more people hear about Christ in our area? So one of the areas, or two of the areas we're looking at specifically right now, from a St. Mark's point of view, Folsom and El Dorado Hills. Great growth is going on now and planned for the future. So we want to try to be in the ground floor of that growth as much as possible. This is not to take the place of St. Mark's, but to above and beyond. Growth, expand at St. Mark's. So we're looking at a multi-site. We'd be one congregation, just with different locations. Hope, for example, is looking at Lincoln. So what can we do together to support them in their efforts to reach out to Lincoln with a multi-site? We're also then looking at Elk Grove. A lot of growth going on there on 99 and 5, both areas. So what can we do? Maybe there would be more of a daughter. It'd be its own congregation, but started by us. So again, we're working with the District Mission Board because they've had their eye on these places. But just with limited people power and financial resources, so what can we do to get the work out there, the message out there, on limited resources? Lodi, they're looking at Stockton. So again, what can we do to help them support growth in the Stockton area? Stockton, did you see that article? People leaving the Bay Area, Stockton makes the top 10 places where people are moving to. Okay? Sacramento is number 3. 1 and 2 are out of state. But Sacramento area is growing. So we want to be cognizant of that. We all recognize we want to grow the church. We can't do it, but God can. Through his incomparable riches. So that's what we're focusing in our ministry plan. Campus improvements. Buildings last forever, right? Without any maintenance. Well, again, we have a beautiful campus. We want to maintain that. We do need an overhaul in some of the buildings. DGs are doing great work with the resources they have. What can we do to enhance that work? So those are some of the things that are in mind as we're looking to pay down this debt. If we didn't have this debt, if we could lower our monthly obligation of $12,310 a month, if we could free some of that money up, what could we do as a congregation of believers here at St. Mark's to help grow the kingdom as God allows it? That's what's behind this effort. That leads us then back to the cover letter on page 2. Middle of the page there. What we together can do. This not without purpose debt reduction effort calls for each one of us by God's enabling to help. In the coming months, we'll be talking about a variety of ways this can happen. Starting with today. While we are conducting this special effort, we are aware that this effort cannot supersede the financial resources given for the day-to-day ministry needs. We also need each one of us to pray for this not without purpose debt reduction effort. Pray that the Lord over the next 2 years will provide the financial resources needed to significantly lower or even eliminate our current indebtedness. We want everyone to be a willing participant. God has brought us together to be his workmanship for a reason. So to him be the glory as we remember our mission and ministry and this debt reduction effort. Such are not without purpose. Another handout in your packet should be the commitment card. I just want to walk through this commitment card. We're not asking for your financial gifts today, but we are asking you to pray about this. Only the Lord knows what you're in a position to do. And the Lord has said he does not ask us to give what he in the first place does not give. So this is a 2-year effort because our loan is up for renewal in 2020, in the fall of 2020. It's not up for negotiations until then. We've talked about that, tried with them. So what we've done in the past is always a year-to-year, 2018 calendar year, look at it. What we're doing now is this 2-year effort to begin July 1. That's when our ministry financial plan, fiscal year begins July 1. So we thought it'd be clean to go from July 1 of 2018 to June 30th of 2020. So for 2018, if you already filled out the commitment form indicating what you were going to give for your mortgage, we appreciate that. That helps. What we're asking you to do is fill out a form again. What are you, by God's grace, able to see right now, able to give over a 2-year period for this effort? Not taken away from the day-to-day ministry operations. So we're looking for a 2-year commitment. It may be just doing what you're doing currently, but just please indicate that again. Maybe that's all you're positioned to do. That's all right. Maybe you're able to do what you're doing currently, and you indicate that, but you're also then willing and able to make a quarterly or one-time gift each year, or just one-time gift in addition to what you're doing. There's a spot to indicate that as well. Well, we recognize with the current commitment process, if we just went by the current commitment process, we're only like at $6,000 of the $12,000 that we need. So that's not working. But by the grace of God, those who haven't committed are giving. And so each month, especially the last couple months, we've been able to make our monthly mortgage payment. But we would like to know by Commitment Sunday, which is June 24th, we'll review those dates in a moment, if we have enough to be able to make our mortgage payment for the next 2 years, and in addition be able to reduce the principal over those 2 years. So then we go to renegotiate the loan. Maybe we won't need to renegotiate it because by God's grace, it'll be paid for. But then again, it may not be. But Lord willing, it'll be significantly reduced, which will then free up cash flow so that we can keep working at the other ministry areas that we have in mind. So as you fill this out, give it prayer for thought. You're not asked to do it today. If you're doing it something currently, great. Please indicate that. If you're able to do above and beyond that, please indicate that as well. If you haven't filled out a commitment form or you're not comfortable filling out that commitment form, we would appreciate it if you did fill one out. It's important for our ministry planning. But if you're really not comfortable doing something on paper, but you're still willing to do something, that's between you and the Lord. But just to let you know that this would be helpful as we do our ministry planning. Key dates coming up. June 24th, as I mentioned, that's what we're calling Commitment Sunday. It's going to be a low-key Sunday. So between now and then, we'd like you to pray, talk with church leaders, talk with your fellow members, your significant other, whatever it might be. And between now and then, come up with what you feel you can do. And then on June 24th, bring a copy of this commitment form back in an envelope. There's a box in the entryway that's designed to collect those commitment forms. We're not going to hound you. You know, you're short in your commitment. But we will put it on your financial statement so you can track. But again, it's not our point to hound you on that. And then before Commitment Sunday, June 17th, we're planning to have a celebration Sunday. Now this is going to be a little bigger. Because we have a lot to celebrate. We just got a taste of it in our booklet. Past blessings, current blessings, and Lord willing, there's still a lot to celebrate going forward until we get to heaven. That's the biggest celebration of all. So all of our ministries on June 17th will be available and throughout the campus, indicating what they do as part of the celebration ministry here at St. Mark's. Along with all the various groups, LWMS, Prayer Committee, Mornings with Mommy, and others, will be available to help us all grow in what we are doing as a congregation, that we can celebrate all these various ministries. Each one's important. And there's probably countless things going on behind the scenes that we're not aware of. That too we want to celebrate. So June 17th, Celebration Sunday, big Sunday. June 24th, another big Sunday, but low-key, your commitment Sunday. Bring these back. If you have any questions or comments in the meantime, please don't hesitate to ask. It all goes back to who we are and for what purpose. So let's read together back in the passage sheet, Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. Let's read together verses 8, 9, and 10. That was the first sheet we looked at. We read 8, 9, and 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Just in closing, you may receive a follow-up phone call from one of our members to see if they have any questions, and just to give you a reminder of Celebration Sunday and Commitment Sunday. Again, it's meant to be an encouragement call, not a, what are you doing, Paul? So take it in the right light that is it is meant as we encourage one another. Any questions, comments? Yes.
On the commitment card, it says something about electronic giving. Do they prefer electronic giving? Is that easier for the church, or is the check cash better? Which one, is there a preference?
Is that a preference right now, whatever is easier for the member to give? We'll be working on information on how to do electronic giving. There's a couple options we're looking at. But some of our members are doing it now. You know, they have it where their bank sends us electronically, either a check or electronic means to do that. We want to make it simple and helpful. So that's just another option. So we'll get more information on that. Out to you. Yes. However you want to do it. If you can just add it to your what you're doing currently or a separate check, that's fine. You just indicate on your memo line in the check, not without purpose, above and beyond. So we'll be tracking it. You know, so that, again, over the next 2 years, if we had $350,000, right, that's what we need for our payments. Everything above that just helps reduce principal. And as we make above and beyond payments each month, we're able to put more on the principal each month as well. And then the cell tower deal also plays into this too. So we did make a deal with Landmark. So we did have a buyout option on that. So we have some money up front that we're going to call for the mortgage. As well, so we're going to count that out. Plus, then we're working on another deal with Verizon, which would be separate from that Landmark deal. So again, another way that God provides means for us to put the debt behind us and move forward with ministry.
I think it's great that this is here, not to look at just give, but the fact that we're trying to make an effort to free up our resources so we are able to pay up this debt more.
Sure. Some people said it's been long, you know, we should have focused on this years ago. Mm-hmm. I know there was some effort to do that. You know, it's just how things work out. There's no pointing the fingers, can't go back. We just move forward, that's what you're emphasizing. You know, someone once said, which is important, we need to look at our dollars as ministry. Mm-hmm. God talks about faithful stewardship in the Bible. Over 280 times. You know, we need to, as his church, be faithful in our stewardship. That's what we're trying to do. Be good stewards of
this. There's a few reassurances that you're not going to have, like some of these bigger churches have $5 million jet or a big fancy mansion, air pigeon dog house, and you've seen them in the movie over the years. So there's nothing to worry about there. We know that the church is a parish, it's a congregation. The money will go to a
So did I hear that you're really going to find me another check?
Oh.
Same way, smooth research. Yeah, I appreciate the clarification. So we do have the two funds, right? We have a day-to-day operations general fund that supports everything day-to-day. Then we have the mortgage fund that people give to. So in the current commitment forms, not the ones that were handed out today, we ask, you know, what are you able to give for the day-to-day? What are you able to give for the mortgage? What we're asking now, starting July 1, is we're putting a special emphasis on the debt while not ignoring the day-to-day. That's a given.
Right.
What can we do above and beyond over the next 2 years for the mortgage? So that's why we say, even if you filled out a form for 2018, we want you to redo it again, because our mortgage, now when we talk about the mortgage, we're talking about this not without purpose for 2 years. And then whatever we receive for mortgage is going right to that. And we pray it's more than what, you know, what we're doing currently is not going to do it. So what we're trying to do is we need to keep doing what we're doing plus to emphasize what you said. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
If we pay off this mortgage, in the future, would we have some sort of guarantee, like say in 10 years from now, we're not going to reborrow $500,000 or $1 million so that we'd be right back in the same spot?
Can't guarantee that, but that's
but
we're not, you know, we're not doing this so we can go back into debt. We're doing this so we can carry on with ministry.
Right.
Now, 10 years from now, hey, we're blessed with being able to build a campus or multi-sites and we're gonna build. You know, we'll discuss it at that time. Right now the plan is not to go borrow money again, but to try to pay this off and then raise up funds so we can do more ministry. That's legit.
We have a fixed interest rate with Thrivent. Does that change in 2020?
It may. They cannot guarantee the rates will go lower or be the same. Right now, if we negotiate it, it would be a higher rate. So that's what they said, we're not going to negotiate. So it's a 25-year note, renewal every 5 years. And 2020 is the next 5-year time. So that's why we thought God provided us with a nice, clean look. We got 2 fiscal years to look at. But so, with the mortgage, again, we're doing a 2-year look at our mortgage. What can we do in the next 2 years to make a significant impact on our indebtedness?
This may come out after we renegotiate, but has there any thought been given to doing CDs like we did in the past, where the members give X amount of dollars and they're guaranteed a percentage back? And that way the members hold the loan.
It has been discussed. We're just not in a position legally to do that yet. But that is on the docket. Someone else suggested that too, so good. But you're suggesting we'll keep it on the docket and look into what that takes. There's an organization that helps do that to make sure you're legal. And then we have the means to pay on that.
Two things on the interest rate that was brought up. I don't think there's any doubt in the world that that's going to be going up from what it is today. Just want to make sure that's clear. Secondly, on the cell tower, you said a deal was in fact struck. The deal that was struck, did that enable us to do make one of our goals attainable of $300,000 immediately to go to the debt reduction? And number two, $100,000 to go into a fund specifically in case we fall short. Did the deal allow for both of those?
That deal does allow for both of that, right. So the congregation, the voters were aware that the deal went through, and now we'll be working on how to specifically use that money. But as you pointed out, we're looking at targeting $350,000 of that for debt. And then the balance would be to help build up some of the campus long term, building the grounds.
Okay, so the second half of that, there was no slush fund set aside like originally discussed in case we fall short on a money.
That's part of that $350,000.
That's part of
it. So, right. We would keep 4 to 6 months of payments behind, so just in case.
Thank you.
Yes.
I think we need to get everybody to understand we have three parts to this moving situation. Our standard everyday budget, which is virtually almost $1 million budget for the year. That is going to be, that includes the mortgage payments. Then we have a short-term look, which is not without a purpose, to be debt reduction, and to be further announcing down, which is a long-term move. Those are the three points that are moving right now. We're not changing any, well, we will have some changes because our budget comes up for renewal in the June meeting, but it's basically the same. When you consider 80% of our budget is virtually salaries, right, and you know, standard maintenance. There's not a whole lot of places to cut it, but we've got that. Now we're looking at where can we go from this point forward, short term, long term.
No, I appreciate that. That's why we're looking for the prayers and input, because as we, June 24th, when the commitments come back, we'll be, evaluate where we're at. Lord willing, will be able to say, not only are we able to make our payments for the next 2 years, we can also put X amount on the principal over those 2 years. And then also we're going to be evaluating where that puts us day to day. Because for a few months there, we had to take from the general fund to help make the mortgage payment. Thankfully, the last couple months, we haven't had to do that. Can't keep robbing Peter to pay Paul and expect both. So we're just making sure we're being as transparent as we can with the situation we're at, putting in the hands of you, God's people, and say, what has God allowed us to do for you, for all of us working together? Any other comments? Otherwise, we'll close with. Oh. Correct. 2.3
to 2.5, right? We close to 2.5, 2.8, with all that. We initially started at 2.3 and we got back to 2.7.
That help? Okay. We pray, Father in heaven, thank you for your mercies, fresh and new each and every day. We thank you for the ministry that you've given to us here at St. Mark's and the opportunity to build on the foundation of our forefathers who have gone before us. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to bless us with ministry opportunities now and going forward. Help us celebrate this ministry you have given to us. To you be the honor and glory as we seek to glorify your name, to grow in your grace, and to go with your gospel. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you for your time, prayers, comments.